Grüezi miteinander, ganz herzlich willkommen und einen wunderschönen guten Tag, meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren, liebe Freunde aus nah und fern. Ich begrüße Sie zu dieser Sondersendung von Weltwoche Daily, die andere Sicht, unabhängig, kritisch, gut gelaunt und zuversichtlich aufgezeichnet am Mittwoch, dem 22. Juli 2026 mit einem hochprominenten Gast. Ich werde jetzt dann gleich auf Englisch wechseln. Es ist der serbische Staatspräsident Aleksandar Vučić, nicht zum ersten Mal in unserem Programm, aber in hochinteressanten, in aufwühlenden und auch gefährlichen Zeiten. Mr. President, very welcome. It's great to be here and to speak again about our crazy world.
Honored and privileged to be with you.
Fantastic. We are in the middle of the summer. Everybody is on holiday. What is your biggest concern at the moment?
Well, there are a dozen of concerns. Different issues. Today, for the first time, we feel the real shortage of oil and we'll have to intervene from state reserves with huge, huge quantities of diesel. And this is one issue because of Russia-Ukraine war and Iran war as well. And at the same time, unlike all the others, I believe that we'll have even worse situation after the September, which means within 2 months, it'll be even worse than today.
Worse in what sense? You mean?
I believe that we'll have bigger escalation, at least speaking about Russia-Ukraine war.
Why is that so? Why do you come to that conclusion?
We'll be very frank with you and we'll say this in a simple way. One has to win the war. It lasts for almost 5 years. Everybody's nervous. Nobody's happy. People are suffering. People are dying on a daily basis. And in both capitals and in many Western capitals, people in power are not delivering what they actually promised to their people. And then that's something that this is the only outcome that we can see. Mm. Otherwise, just procrastinating pretty much the same, it won't work for anyone. And nobody wants to lose. Everybody wants to win. And the war is not going to be over before someone will have or someone will make much bigger progress on a battlefield than it used to be the case in the last 4 years.
When you say escalation is to be expected, what kind of escalation do you imagine? What kind of escalation do you prepare yourself and your country for?
You can never prepare your country for this. Okay, we are militarily neutral country, we are not involved into that conflict, but we feel a lot of economic consequences and everything else. But speaking about escalation, I believe that Russians, this is what I believe, that Russians might do a bigger conscription by the end of September, early October. It's not easy for Ukraine to do it furthermore. You saw the problems in Lviv, in the other areas of Ukraine. And at the end, Russians, they have some other means in order to escalate it.
I was in Moscow a few weeks ago, and it was obvious there was talk all over, pressure on the president. The people are getting tired with the war. They say the Kremlin has to get it over with. Takes too much time. Use bigger weapons. Use more force. How big is the pressure on the Russian president at the moment? What do you think?
I believe it's... He is very prudent, very cautious guy. At the same time, very disciplined man, and but the real issue for him is that psychologically and politically it's not easy, seeing that every single of your refineries were hit by Ukrainian drones, and this creates nervousness within society, and it's pushing, of course, Putin and all the others to act in a stronger way, and I have no doubts about it. But it's not an easy situation for Ukrainians as well, because they are facing a lot of divisions within their society, within their establishment as well. At the same time, they are not winning on a battlefield. Not an easy situation around Konstantinovka, around Liman, around Druzhkovka, not very far away from Slavyansk Russian troops, which shows that no one is actually facing a very good situation. And then people would say, well, that's the reason why we could have talks, good talks, and why we can reach ceasefire, truce, peace, whatever. No, that won't happen. Someone has to win. Someone has to win. You cannot stop the war without having winning side or defeated side.
And nobody will give in by himself.
And no one will give in easily. That's why I believe that we'll have to face escalation. And I believe that Ukrainians will do everything to escalate their attacks against Russia on Russian territory, because they see that as a huge psychological advantage for themselves. And this is the product they are selling very well in the West as well. Because there are no better news for the people in Berlin, London, Paris, all over the world, if they see each refinery hit by Ukrainian drones, or later on it can go to other type of objects of a bigger significance for Russian side, well, it means that we'll have much bigger problems.
I mean, it's also an escalation of misunderstandings. In the West, they think with each drone attack on Russia, Russia will come closer to the negotiating table, whereas the resolve just mounts to strike harder. And so everything feeds up. You have been to Ukraine last week. You have been at this conference with President Zelensky. What was the mood at this conference?
Zelensky is a smart guy. He knows what to say, how to say, and he can hide his emotions quite well. It was a nice day, very calm day, no problems, no issues at all. It was, you know, it was like Southeast Europe, Romanian president and Minister of Foreign Affairs of Bulgaria and Croatian Prime Minister, and all of us were there. It was Ukraine, Southeast Europe summit, regular topics. What I noticed is that ordinary people were not afraid to speak Russian language, which was a bit of a surprise for me. But they would like to see this war stopped, but they would also like to see that war being halted only if they are getting something, only if they are in a way winning with their ideas. And it's, you're absolutely right about Russia. You can hit whatever you want. You can hit Kremlin building. But at the end, is it going to foster or to force Russians to surrender, to give in? No, that will never happen. They will become more determined to escalate the fight and to do something in order to win. This is a wrong assessment, a very wrong estimation from the West.
At this conference, you verbally supported the Ukrainian efforts, but you did not sign this final memorandum that they set up. What is the reason?
It was, there were many reasons, but I'll tell you just one of it. Item number 11 was formation of a special court against Russia and come on. We have UN Charter, we have to do everything in accordance with UN resolutions, UN Charter, that's it. Everything is just putting more powder into the fire and it can just instigate bigger clashes, which we don't want to see.
I mean, it's very hard to see behind the Kremlin walls. What I see a bit clearer is the atmosphere in Europe. And it seems to me totally crazy. I share your concern that we are really on a path to a big war, but I see the Western European politicians being totally sure that they are on the right side of history. And I would wonder, what is your observation? You meet all these people, you are talking to both sides, you're talking to Putin, you're talking to Zelensky, you talk to Friedrich Merz, you have been to the 14 Juillet in France. I mean, if you talk to these heads of state, to these prime ministers, and you tell them, hey guys, we are here in hell. I mean, we are walking into hell. What are they telling you? Are they aware of the seriousness of the situation?
If you remember, dear Roger, what we were discussing 2 years ago in Switzerland, and even at that time I was saying to you that nothing is going to change soon. We'll get to a worse situation. Things are going to deteriorate. Unfortunately, I was right. And now I'm saying that the worst is just coming. But I have an unexpected answer to your question. I say nothing, and I'll tell you why. Because whatever you try to say, everybody would say to me, okay, you're a small guy coming from a small country, we don't need your opinion because we are all united. We all think the same. And it's actually forbidden to say something differently. They did not open any single cluster on Serbia's EU path in last 5 years just because of CFSP, whatever you call it, this alignment with their declarations against Russia. That was actually the only reason. Then it shows that you have to be fully obedient on everything, otherwise you're out of the team. And when something is opposing even the common sense, you have to be fully aligned with that. It's not about the fact who violated international public law. We know who did it. We know who invaded the other country. But someone has to stop the war, someone has to work on it. But because of social networks, because of situation within the countries in Europe and in many other parts of the world, nobody wants to do anything because everybody thinks that the truth is on their side, and only if they win, that can be like a preterm for the survival of Europe, for the progress of Europe, for the progress of the world and everything else. No one wants to compromise on anything. No one. No. Not Russians, not Ukrainians, not Europeans. And everybody wants to win, which means the other side has to lose, which is not happening. And this is why the war is lasting so much. So much time, such a big time that no one expected. At the end, that's why I believe that we'll face escalation, because time is not working for Russian, neither for Ukrainian side. But I'm not sure that the clock is on European side as well. I think all three sides are losing. Russians and Ukrainians, which are warring factions the most. And at the end, you have to speak to someone, and you cannot impose your conditions to the others. Just speak and speak and speak. It's better to speak, it's better to have a dialogue, it's better to have a good conversation between warring factions 10 times on a daily basis than having one day more of war, which is so destructive to both sides or to all sides that we couldn't believe it. And this is something that has to be changed. But nobody is ready to change it, and no one will change it. Because no one wants to say, okay, we made some mistakes supporting till the very end this side, or we made some mistakes because we could have stopped this war 3-4 years ago. And that's the reason why we'll have the procrastination of the war with the use of the worst possible means.
I would argue that you are in a very special responsibility as the Serbian president, because you are one of the very few leaders right now in Europe who has actually witnessed war. You have seen war. You have seen war in your country. You have seen the bombardment of your capital, of Belgrade. You have been a politician or an upcoming newcomer.
Office, my office was crushed by
Moscow. So you have seen what war is, and how war is a monster. It can change people. It drags everybody in. So isn't it that especially a president like you should speak up even more severely, and to open the eyes, I phrase it a bit strongly, of these fools who have not witnessed what you have witnessed. So let's talk about the worst case scenario. In your eyes, you have witnessed war. What is the situation? What is the worst case we have to face if this escalation chain continues like this?
I'll tell you what I think. I think that nobody, I can say whatever you want, nobody will listen to that. You know, René Descartes used to say that ratio is something that is spread in a best possible way among the people. Everybody thinks that he or she has a better common sense than the others. And but today, nobody wants to listen anything. They have their tasks, their goals, their aims, and that's it. And nobody is moving from their positions. And whatever I might say, how terrible it is to facing the war and everything else, you see that they are actually admiring Ukrainians because of their resistance to Russians. They all like to speak about war because they believe they are winning, which is crazy. People that are dying, they became just a number. And then you see jubilance when some people are speaking about 1 million, 1.1, 1.2 million Russian people dead. Like, it's a good news, which is crazy, which is totally crazy, and vice versa. But if I go anywhere, if I say, okay, stop the war, in a real sense, they would say, yes, Alexander, we are trying to stop the war, but not under, and then they raise the voice, but not under Putin's terms.
We have to dictate the terms.
Yeah, and then I say, okay, then we won't stop the war. And then you wait for the escalation. At the end, if you speak about war so much, at the end, we'll have a war. It's like in Chekhov's drama. you hang on that rifle in a first part, and someone will trigger it in a third part. And when you speak about war between Europe and Russia, day by day, okay, Russians will escalate it, Russians will attack Baltic countries, Poland, and I don't believe in this. I don't believe in this at all. Mm-hmm. I don't see what would be Russia's interest to do so. Then at the end, one provocation can instigate a war. One spark can ignite the war wherever. And at the end, you see that everybody's getting ready for the war. We can pretend that we don't see that. We can pretend that it's not happening, but it is happening. And everybody is preparing themselves for the war.
We have reported in Weltwoche about a lot of developments in Russia. For example, this list of 120 production plants in Europe, which are helping the Ukraine building drones and weapons. They are now legitimate war goals, war aims. We have reported on the fact that there is a concerning number of Russians talking about using nuclear weapons, even in the public sphere on television. It's getting more and more common. I would wonder, and I ask myself, you have been to France on the 14 juillet, this big celebration, all the leaders were there. Are the European leaders aware of the fact what is building up in Russia, how the mood is changing, how the pressure is on the president, how the escalation? I mean, there is a necessity almost on Putin to escalate, to counteract these strikes. How do the European leaders, the Western European leaders, react to this? What are your observations?
I was present at the dinner. Had some good talks with Mark Rutte, with the others on the region. This was my focus. Had to take care of ourselves. But I was listening to all the others. Russia was almost the only topic. And everybody was speaking about weapons, all of us, armaments, ordnance, everything. And at the end, they believe that they are much stronger than Russia, which is speaking about number of fighter jets, tanks, whatever else, true. But they underestimate Russians, believing that Putin is bluffing and he will do his best to avoid the use of nuclear weapons, but at the end, if necessary, he'll use it. I have no doubts. They can say to me, okay, you're lying, that will never happen. He'll never deprive himself of the right of using nuclear weapons, because otherwise it would be very difficult for him to politically survive. And if you ask me whether it's possible or not, because people today believe that it will never happen, because then the retaliation will be cruel one. What retaliation? Who's gonna toss the bomb, nuclear one, against Russia? What would be the country of origin? Mm-hmm. I don't see that response might come in that way. We'll see. After September, Russia is having elections there, which are taking place on 20th of September. Not immediately after that, but a few weeks after that, I'm sure that we'll see escalation. He has no other choices.
We are now observers. You are also a participant. You are an actor. You are a president. I'm an observer. I'm a journalist. We're seeing a situation which can create only deepest concerns. I mean, it's a crazy situation we are in. I mean, we are talking in this beautiful summer, we're talking about the perspective of a big war in Europe after a century of two disastrous wars. I mean, Mr. President, how do you cope with such a perspective? I mean, how do you, are you desperate? Are you totally disillusioned? How do you keep your, you know, optimistic kind of
mood? I'm not an optimistic person by nature, but I do my best to be realistic and very prudent and cautious. This is my job, and we have to take care of ourselves. And we were like world champions in number of wars that we had in 20th century, and we lost too many people. In the First World War, we lost 29% of our overall population, which was the biggest percentage.
Speaking of Serbia now.
Speaking only of Serbs. Speaking only of Serbs. And in the Second World War, as you know, we were the only anti-Nazi-oriented nation from the beginning of the war, and we paid a huge price, particularly west of River Drina, where was formed that Nazi puppet state, independent Croatia, where the Serbs were killed in big, big, big numbers in concentration camp of Jasenovac and some other places as well. And after that, we had all these wars during 1990s, and also that aggression against Serbia, NATO aggression against Serbia in 1999. Mm-hmm. Having all this in mind, we are doing our best to keep peace and stability. We know what the war means. Politically, economically, and something of an utmost importance is how many people we lose. And it's not only about people suffering, which is the main and it should be a focal point, but the issue is that you cannot compensate anything in the future. And it's terrible that we speak about wars, and I always believe days and days of terribly difficult negotiations are better than one day of war. And we'll keep on working in order to keep peace and stability. We have Expo specialized exhibition next year, and this is something very significant to us. And I believe that even coming here, you saw a lot of changes even in the last few months since you were not here. But this is something that we are very much proud of. But are we going to be hit and struck in a severe way because of all this stuff? No doubt. And when, you know, I know that you follow everything. You remember a few weeks ago when Trump was signing that MOU with Iranians. Mm-hmm. Day after, I was saying in the main news that I don't believe in this because the cause of the war was not resolved. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, you see, now you have no winning sides. Iranians will say that they won. Americans will say we won. That will bring us to continuation of this war. And we didn't need more than 7 days, 8 days, 10 days, whatever, of cheaper oil. Mm. And now we have disastrous effects. Yeah. And that's what I was saying about Russia and Ukraine. Someone has to win. Mm. One has to lose. It's the same with the Iranian crisis. Yeah. Otherwise, this will last for many years, both conflicts.
Das vollständige Video finden Sie jetzt auf weltwoche.ch und weltwoche.de. Den Link dazu finden Sie in der Beschreibung.